It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Chipped ham and football. That's what Pittsburgh does. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to our first show post-draft for the Steelers. 7 picks in the books. Only through 6 rounds, but that was kind of nice by the end of the weekend. We're going to be joined today by Tej Seth. Does NFL data science at Sumer Sports. Big in the football analytics world. A rising star there. So going to be curious to hear his thoughts. He had the Steelers as one of his draft winners, so we can get into it from his perspective as well. He's got no skin in the game, so it'll be fun to hear an unbiased opinion of all the picks by Omar Khan and company on the show. As always, brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. No better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on your energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Let's get to it. All right, there he is, Tej Seth of Sumer Sports. We've had your boss, I guess, on before, Eric Eager. He's been on the show, and we love what you guys do over there. So looking forward to chatting with you about the Steelers. How's it going, man? I heard you were also out in Detroit for the draft. It sounds like you had a pretty good time, and you were telling me a little bit off air about what Steelers fans can expect if the draft comes here in a couple years as expected in 2026.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Brian. And I was at the draft in Detroit this past weekend, which I thought was a really enjoyable experience. I was surprised by the amount of people that showed up just to see the commissioner read some names off of some note cards. But it was still really cool to see, everyone that was in the area, all the entertainment that they had happen between picks with different musical performances and different events that were happening. And just seeing like the reaction to, especially like the Lions pick itself, but also some of the other big picks that happened in the draft was a very fun time.
And I was one of those people who, when I did my first round mock draft for the Post-Gazette, I think I had the Lions trading out of the first round, and that would have been kind of a buzzkill for everybody there. But not only did they make their pick, they got cornerback Terrion Arnold from Alabama. Was that a pretty big that go over well with the locals there in Michigan?
Yeah, I do actually think the Lions would have traded out of the first round pick if the draft wasn't in Detroit. I thought that they obviously felt pressure to make a pick with everyone showing up to see them make a pick, much like the Chiefs last year when they were number 32 overall in Kansas City. But I do think that the reaction was pretty positive to that pick because they got one of the top corners in the draft, just an area of need. So I think that was pretty exciting for a lot of fans that were there.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious. I was talking to just friends in Pittsburgh over the weekend being like, would you actually want to go to this, assuming it comes here in a couple years? And it's like, on one hand, like you said, Tej, they're just reading names off a card. It's like the least amount of sports at a sporting event, if you want to call it that. But at the same time, like everybody I know is, at the bar watching it. You know, we had a bunch of people at Mike's Beer Bar over the weekend for our live draft event. So it's like, if you're going to kind of be using it as a communal experience anyway, and it's actually being hosted in your city, sounds like there's maybe a little bit more to it than just a lot of waiting around and checking your phone and looking for whatever pick tipper gets it first on that particular spot.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I do think like it's definitely something you want to like be in the area for. I think it got really crowded where some people had trouble like actually getting into the main like entry points to get closer to the stage. But like, yeah, being in that area, I mean, Pittsburgh is a great setup for it with the rivers and like being around that spot. So I think that'll be cool. I think Green Bay next year will be really interesting because like it's probably the smallest city you know, that has an NFL team in it. So I'm curious to see how that goes. But if Pittsburgh ends up getting it after that, I think they'll do a great job with it.
Yeah, that'd be four consecutive, I guess, like just cities where they're just obsessed with football. And if you're going to, you know, put the draft somewhere and just have people nerd out over these first, second, seventh round picks, you know, you could do a lot worse than KC, Detroit, Green Bay, and Pittsburgh in a 4-year stretch. But all right, let's get to the actual picks by the Steelers. I know you were high on their draft. A lot of people were high on their draft, whether it's, you know, you guys over at Sumer, the folks at PFF, you know, ESPN draft grades, a lot of people locally here in Pittsburgh who, I mean, we're always looking at it through a little different lens, but I don't think they got much pushback from the beat writers and columnists in this area. Why for you, Tej, as somebody who follows all 32 teams and had to look critically and analytically at all their draft hauls, why were the Steelers among your big winners from the 2024 draft weekend?
Yeah, I really liked what Omar Khan did with addressing areas of need and also getting good value at the positions. You look at his first round pick of Troy Fotanu. He was someone expected to go, you know, around like pick 15, pick 16. So ended up getting decent value on him when the Steelers ended up taking him. You know, he had a very high athletic score from some of our combine metrics that we track, 94th percentile. And he's also someone who was both sound in the pass and run game. So I think he can really step in and be a pretty good offensive tackle or even offensive guard eventually, depending on what they want to do with him for the Steelers. And then he really, you know, GM Omar Khan like really continued that through the rest of the draft, like putting investment into the offensive line, taking Zach Frazier in the next round, who is one of the better center prospects in this draft. And then Mason McCormick, who I heard some pretty good things about as kind of a depth piece. So I really liked a lot of those moves, kind of like really solidifying an offensive line that year ago probably wasn't, you know, towards the top of the league, but now has the opportunity to do so because of some of the free agents that were brought in and the draft picks.
I was also, you know, one of my resources going into this weekend was the draft guide from Sumer Sports, and you know, Roman Wilson, you know, prominently featured in there, as were all the wide receivers. You know, we know the Steelers mostly focused on the trenches this year, really for the second year in a row. They went forever without drafting an offensive tackle in the first round. And now it's been back-to-back years with Broderick Jones and Troy Fautanu. What are your thoughts on Roman Wilson? I know you guys put a lot of work into kind of projecting these wide receivers to the next level, trying to take into account, you know, those relative athletic scores that you mentioned. The production, which for him is sort of an interesting discussion because he was at Michigan where it seemed like every time they threw to him, he made things happen. But, yeah, you know, they didn't really throw as much as, you know, at Ohio State or Texas or some of those other schools that had wide receivers go in the first couple of rounds.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is a good point. I think when you look at Roman Wilson or even just like a receiver in general, where they were a part of an offense that didn't pass that much, like I think their range of outcomes or kind of like their uncertainty, you know, at the next level is a little bit increased, which could be a good or a bad thing, depending on how you look at it. But I think for Roman Wilson, it could end up being a good thing for the Steelers, because you look at him and some of his advanced stats, you know, he was decently productive, but nothing crazy, which is why he went in the third round. But he was really good at, you know, getting into his deeper developing routes and turning those into explosives from the slot. So I think that's a really dynamic type of weapon to have, where you have someone who can run goes, post routes, corner routes at an above average rate and pretty successfully. And I think he is someone that can really fill into the slot for the Steelers, you know, with Pickens and Van Jefferson as the outside receivers and really round out the receiver room and try to work back some of what they're missing from the Diontae Johnson trade in the aggregate.
Yeah, that's kind of what I, you know, initially thought of Wilson, was just like similar body types, similar, you know, athletic profile to Diontae Johnson, could, you know, be kind of a one for one there if he's able to, you know, play more on the outside and win some more of those one-on-ones than he was asked to do in Ann Arbor. And I guess, you know, he fits right into this. And, you know, I was sort of talking to some people about this just anecdotally over the weekend. These last couple years, these first Steelers drafts run by Omar Khan and also playing a huge part in it, assistant GM Andy Weidel, after coming over from Philadelphia under Howie Roseman and everybody there who built the Eagles into a perennial contender. It seems like more so than the final, let's say, 4 or 5 years under Kevin Colbert, maybe even longer than that. But, you know, this space was not quite as explored back then. It seems like the Steelers are much closer by the end of the draft to sort of rankings of players on these consensus big boards that you see that take into account NFL.com rankings, Athletic rankings, ESPN rankings, really everybody who's trying to project the NFL, you know, abilities of these prospects. It seems like there's less, we always get into these words there. Some people love them, some people hate them. It seems like there are less reaches by the Steelers and more steals. And I think probably if you could put a poster child of the Steelers 2024 draft class on that, it would be second, third rounder from NC State, 98th overall, Peyton Wilson.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become? Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought up Peyton Wilson. I think he's someone who had an argument to be the linebacker one in this class just based on their profile, right? Like, you look at Peyton Wilson, we have this stat from StatsBomb that's yards after initial tackle attempt. And it's like, how good are you at preventing the ball carrier from gaining yards when you try to tackle them? And he was the best linebacker at preventing those yards. He was used on blitzes around 30% of the time. So he has some versatility there. And he's also pretty good in coverage. I really think the only thing that was holding them back was some of his medicals. You know, he had a lot of procedures in college, but I think as long as he is able to stay on the field, he could be a pretty effective defensive chess piece that they really can move around on their defense, and he can really impact the way the game in both the pass and the run game from a defensive perspective. And you bring up a really interesting point with the consensus big board, talking about steals and reaches, where a lot of research has found that reaches usually perform to the draft position the consensus big board rank that they end up, you know, getting taken at. So like if a player is 20th on the consensus big board, but they get taken at number 10, they're more likely to perform like players that are taken number 20 overall, just because it only takes one team to reach. Sure. But steals are interesting, right? Because they'll often perform more to their draft position, where instead of their consensus big board rank, because the league has told us like that they don't really want to take this player. There's maybe 10, 15 teams that are all passing on a player past their consensus big board rank. So when you look at like a player like Peyton Wilson, maybe some teams in the league like didn't feel as good about his health as the Steelers did, but I'm sure the Steelers have the coaching in place, the infrastructure in place as one of the better organizations in the NFL, where they feel like they can handle him better than a couple other teams in the league.
Yeah. And they obviously had to do their homework on those medical concerns. They brought him in for a pre-draft visit. I don't know off the top of my head, but I bet Peyton Wilson was probably a popular pre-draft visitor because teams wanted to get their own docs and their own medical people to look at that rap sheet of injuries going back to 2018 in Raleigh at NC State. So, yeah, I mean, that is, you know, an interesting thing to me because, you know, as you put it, like it only takes one team to believe in a player, overdraft him, quote unquote, because maybe there's a risk reward or a ceiling quotient there. And then, you know, the flip side of that, you know, if a player's got some of those concerns that whether they're medical, character or whatever, and teams are just taking them off their board entirely, you know, there's still a risk reward, but it seems like that reward's hitting more than the risk for the quote unquote steals in these drafts. And I just think back to like 2018 Steelers taking Terrell Edmunds in the first round, where he was projected by a lot of boards as, you know, third or fourth round pick. You know, I would say that didn't quite work out for them, although it was a back half of the first round selection for sure. Even some of their mid rounders over the last few years, it seemed like they were maybe a little just off as far as what the media consensus was. Do you think this is maybe a trend under Omar Khan? Is he maybe a more analytical minded GM? And, you know, what do you folks in sort of the football data world think when you hear from some of the more X's and O's minded people who would say there's no such thing as a steal or a reach? You believe in your player and, you know, you don't worry about what the outside world thinks of him.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that this will probably be a trend from Omar Khan, where he probably wants to put an emphasis on not reaching a ton because of what we just talked about, but also going out and getting value and getting premium positions too, I think is also something.
Yeah, I was going to say the Steelers also drafted Najee Harris in 2021 in the first round, which, you know, I don't think we're going to see too many of those first round running backs going forward unless the league sort of pivots back to that direction. But that was a pick, Tej, that was lampooned by a lot of people here in Pittsburgh for being just not a very forward-thinking move at the time.
Right. And yeah, I mean, I do think that, like, even though Najee Harris had a pretty good year last year, like, you'd probably go back and do it differently again if you were Pittsburgh in that situation. No, even at the time, knowing what we knew about first round running backs, but especially now, like, all the research done on why it's like it's really tough to take a non-premium position in the first round. Like, that's why I loved, you know, both of these last two Steelers drafts, because you take two offensive tackles in the first round. You open up the second round last year, taking Joey Porter Jr., premium position, a player that was really high on the consensus big board, but ended up slipping for various reasons. You know, again, this year, like, you're putting emphasis on taking someone like Roman Wilson in the third round, where you're like really just like giving yourselves opportunities to gain value on a lot of these picks. And I think he's done a good job of that. Whether the picks actually work out or not, like, it's more uncertain, right? But like the process is definitely very sound. And I think that's why he keeps showing up really highly in all of these draft grades that are being given out.
And it even is kind of baked into every move that he's made over these last 24 months. Like, I think of the Russell Wilson signing. Mm-hmm. Sure, deep down, nobody on the south side of Pittsburgh truly knows whether he's still got it or whether he's going to play at an elite level this year. But they know he's dirt cheap. They know he's on a vet minimum contract. So sort of acknowledging that the quarterback position is very difficult to nail down, especially from one year to the next, unless you have the cream of the crop. You know, you might as well at least try to strike while the iron's hot on a guy who's playing for very little. And then to bring in Justin Fields after the Kenny Pickett situation went sideways, you know, that's another move that Steelers fans have loved. And we just mentioned Najee Harris. We've got his fifth year option decision coming up later this week. The Steelers have been mum about it. What are your thoughts on that? And I guess there's kind of two philosophies. One, you know, if you are going to use a first round pick on a running back, get the most you can out of them as far as team control. Whereas the other would just be, don't fully guarantee that year for really any running back and continue to try to pinch pennies and let, you know, your backup Jaylen Warren kind of be the, you know, the prime example of how you can find those guys late in drafts, if not undrafted.
I think that last point that you mentioned there is exactly why I probably wouldn't pick up Najee Harris's fifth year option. I think probably the Steelers won't as well, because yeah, you are guaranteeing a year of play from him. And I think the fifth year option isn't really the advantage that it used to be a couple of years ago because of that, where
even as cheap as it is for running backs, Tej.
Yeah, like I still think that when you're still putting you know, a fully guaranteed year, it kind of limits like what you can do with the contract, right? Like, I think what the Packers did with Jordan Love last year, where they gave basically what was his fifth year option, but you could spread a little bit money around. You could have a little bit of flexibility with it. Like, that could be an option where you can maybe spread out his signing bonus and tack a void year onto it and do various things to kind of make sure you're not dedicating that much guaranteed money to your running back room. But I think, yeah, like you mentioned, like, Jaylen Warren has been very efficient, you know, in more of a limited sample size for the Steelers. I would like to see what he looked like with another rookie running back in 2025 and going forward, where you end up taking a running back next year in the third, fourth round, like we saw a lot of these guys go this year, like a Jalen Wright type or those types of players. And I think that would be a pretty good and dynamic running back room.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. You know, it's kind of the great unknown right now, and there would be uncertainty if you don't have Najee Harris under contract after this year, especially with how durable and consistent, if not overly explosive, he's been. But yeah, I mean, you know, you're going to have some of those picks to use next year, and you know that colleges are always kind of cranking out those guys who have the size and speed, and you can get them at a much cheaper price than they did just a few years ago with Najee himself. Well, hey, Tej, before I let you go, I'll just kind of give you the floor. Is there anything else you want to weigh in on as far as the Steelers specifically, or if you want to just kind of tell people where they can find more of your work with Sumer Sports?
Yeah, I did want to touch on one point with the quarterbacks that you brought up, because I thought it was really interesting what you said, where, yeah, you go out and get Russell Wilson for the vet min, Justin Fields, you know, don't put much trade capital into that.
And, like, and it, I think it goes without saying they're not going to pick up his option. There were some people here wondering, could they do sort of like a modified Jordan Love? But even that, I mean, you haven't even seen Fields in the Steelers offense.
Yeah.
Yet, so that's a little bit different.
Yeah, exactly. I think because of that, they probably wouldn't pick it up. But like, it is so interesting where, like, if you're the Steelers front office, knowing you have Mike Tomlin, who is basically never going to end up with a top 10 pick, you know, because of the high floor he gives the team, like, I feel like this is the ideal way for them to get quarterback play, where, like, if a combination of Wilson and Fields gives you the 18th to 24th best quarterback play in the league, like, can you build a roster that can kind of, like, you know, get into the playoffs off of that? I think that there is a path to do so, where if you have the right play caller, which, like, Arthur Smith is probably too hated on at this point. So maybe he figures that out. And then again, like, you really just supplement the offensive line, get another receiver. Like, I think there is, like, a you know, kind of like a road to success for the Steelers offense without ever having a top 10 pick, where you can go out and take a Caleb Williams, a Jaden Daniels, a Drake May, like there were in this year's draft.
Yeah, I imagine Omar Khan just, like, walks into the building every day, sees Tomlin, and is just like, you are just never going to bottom out. So we're going to have to, you know, look at some different ways to do this. But that's also just been the philosophy of this organization for decades, even predating both those guys who've been here for a really long time in their own rights. So, yeah, I mean, that's been, you know, they sort of tried to thread the needle a little in 2022 with Kenny Pickett.
Right.
You know, they got the first quarterback off the board, but the timing was obviously not right for them in that post Ben Roethlisberger era. So it's, I guess it's kind of like, all right, yeah, back to what we know. Let's try to do this a little different way. And we, you know, they had Ben Roethlisberger on a very high salary for a long time, but he also always gave them a chance in the postseason. So it's always fascinating to kind of look at these new iterations of Steelers football. And I guess I kind of see them as, like, trying to maybe follow that 1920 Titans model, or, you know, for a more modern example, could they be the 49ers light if those guys give them Brock Purdy type of quarterback play? And, you know, obviously Arthur Smith is, no one's going to accuse him of being Kyle Shanahan, but that general idea of building up the roster around the QB and, you know, seeing if that can take you really far in the postseason.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Like, that's kind of what you want to build it on. Like, yeah, I mean, both of these quarterbacks, again, like, they're probably some people, like, quarterbacks who are undervalued a little bit at this point, just because of their situations or kind of like the overall play just not working out in general. So yeah, taking chances on both of these guys, it'll be really interesting to see who's the week one starter, who's the week 11 starter. You know,
who do you got, Tej? Week 11 starter for the Steelers. Who do you think it's going to be?
I think Russell Wilson will start the year, but I think Fields will probably finish it, if I had to guess.
And not because they're 6-10 and playing a meaningless game, but because, you know, Fields has taken over at some point due to either poor play by Russ or good play by him.
Yeah, I think that's what it'll be. Like, he's the type of quarterback, I think, you know, we'll probably need some time to get comfortable in the offense. And I think Arthur Smith will have some pretty fun, you know, stuff for him once he gets going.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Thanks for watching again, and appreciate Tej Seth coming on. You can follow him at Tej FB Analytics if you're still on the hellscape that is formerly known as Twitter. But he's got a lot of good insights and intel there. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was really fun to talk to you.
For sure. All righty. We'll have plenty more Steelers content throughout the week on all of our other shows. I know I'll be back with Chris Carter, at least for the Friday show, maybe even midweek. Thanks again to Tej Seth from Sumer Sports. Thanks for joining me, Brian Batko, here on Chipped Ham and Football. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.